There was a young family that had been traveling on the road for a few days, and they were heading down the highway, getting ready to, you know, get a motel for the night. The kids were in the back seat. You know how they get anxious after so many hours, ready to stop, ready to stretch their legs. But all of a sudden, the dad who was driving noticed those flashing lights in the rearview mirror. And we've maybe had that happen to us or had that fear of it happening. Well, it hit him hard. You know, you're trying to get your family there in time, and then you have that happen, and you know it could cost you. So anyway, they pulled over. They were kind of talking in the car the few minutes while they pulled over, and the policeman came up. So the policeman came up and said, do you know what you were doing wrong? And he looked at him and he said, I think I was speeding. And so anyway, the policeman took his information, did all that, went back to his vehicle and came back and said, I'm just going to give you a warning. He said, you know why? He said, you would not believe how many stories I get that are made up. People lie to me about this, lie to. And he says, you were forthright. You showed me respect by just telling me like it was. And he was very thankful. And because of that, he saved, you know, hundreds of dollars. But you think about it also that he gave his kids a good example of, you know, saying what was right. And even though he could have been, in a sense, punished for it or had to pay a large fine. And so they talked about that as they drove away, just how they were grateful they made that decision. Even if they had to pay the fine, they knew that was still the right decision. Well, I just mentioned the word respect there because that's what the police officer really appreciated this family showing him. And that word respect means to consider worthy of high regard. And you think about that. At times, we don't always consider what words mean. It can mean also to esteem for the worth of a person's quality or ability. Some similar words to that would be to have a high opinion of someone, or to have admiration for those around us. And you think about how much respect is really lacking in our society today. You know, everywhere we look, we can see that that is not the same as when we grew up. If we look at examples of disrespect, they're almost endless. From children's behavior in school or at home, from people's view of law enforcement, the way people dress, or how an individual cares for their home or their property, or the name they refer to someone like, hey, that's my old man, that's my old lady. Just, you know, terms that are not really showing that respect. And many people don't seem to understand the importance of admiring people's words or their actions to really show that respect like God would want us to. Respect is a frame of mind that affects how we live our lives and the way we speak. And so if we don't have that working in us, everything we say and do is going to come across differently. And that's why it's important to be taught that, to grow up with that. Today, my title is Respect, a Matter of Choice. You know, in a world that is focused on self, and everywhere we look, we see that, it's critical to consider our level of respect and how to improve that, to improve that characteristic in every area of our life. My purpose then is to explain some principles of respect, not to tell us what we can do, what we can't do, but more of a balance of how we look at things based on God's words and to consider that. So let's look at a few areas that the Bible mentions. My first point then is respect for God and His laws. Brethren, it's so important to understand what God expects of us because He not only wants that of us, but He wants us to grow in it, to do better. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4 as we look at this topic of respect a little bit. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. An incident that happens with the first family on earth. And you think about obedience for God's laws, and they do reveal a level of respect. And consider that Adam and Eve were given instructions. They were told which trees they could or couldn't eat. They were to name the animals. They were told about the marriage covenant, etc. And that was passed on to them, and then they passed it on most likely to their children. So let's look at a few verses here. Genesis 4, we'll begin in verse 3. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Eternal. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. So there's the word respect. God was literally respecting a human being for what they were doing. And so, if I read down here a few more verses and then make a few comments on this, verse 5 says, "But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.'" Now Cain and Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, I should say, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So here we have the first murder. And if you consider the percentage here, you know, maybe they had a few brothers and sisters, maybe 10 people max on earth, you know, 1/10 or 1/5 of the population of the earth died. And if you took that today, you could say, wow, that would be a huge number. But back then, there were very few people. So that was a big hit on the family. Verse 9, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" Now consider that when God asked that question, did he not know? Yes, he would have known. It was more so like we do as a parent. When we ask our child something, they're guilty of something, and we ask them, we already know what they did. We just ask them to see what their response is, to see if they're willing to, you know, speak the truth and share what they did or what they didn't do. And so it's important for kids to admit early on, and God, as a parent, was simply giving Cain the opportunity to admit that he had sinned against his brother and against God. And so when he says, "Am I brother's keeper?" Yes, he was. And you can see Cain's attitude here. It wasn't a right attitude at all, was it? When we consider how he viewed this. We'll read a few more verses here. Verse 11, "So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." So when you think about the literary technique that is used here in verse 11, you know, your brother's blood, you know, cries out from the ground in a sense. It's written in a way that you can kind of picture it, and we need to think about it just like a detective would study all the clues in a case. God gives us a lot of clues when he inspired his words to be written that we can build more of a background here to understand better. And so the earth, in a sense, is swallowing up Abel's blood. It gives us the clue that he just didn't hit him over the head. But, you know, he might have stabbed him or something where blood would have flowed and the ground would have soaked that up. And so it's important for us to look at all these things to get a better grasp of what we're being told here. But we can ask, did Cain learn anything from this? No, not really, because he goes, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And yet God has given us the opportunity to have brethren, brothers and sisters, and people on earth, and we're to care for one another. And so he can't dodge God. We can't dodge him in that sense, but we need to consider that. Verse 13, "And Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear.'" So you can see his entire attitude throughout this. And when we consider back, when you look at that attitude and go back how it mentioned at the beginning, he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. So it's most likely that God wasn't upset with the actual offering. It was the attitude, the way he did it. Because if we look later in Scripture, we can see that there were offerings, grain offerings, giving thank offerings that were using grain. And so we consider that, and we'll look here in a moment what David said about that. But if you think about, you know, ourselves, when we're, you know, judging our kids or we're being judged in a court case or whatever it might be, the judge is usually looking for remorse. But here Cain is, you know, acting like he truly is a cold-blooded killer. It's like, I'm not guilty. I'm not going to be responsible for him. And so that's a wrong attitude. So let's go to Psalm 40 as we just develop this point a little bit more. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 6. because King David, as he writes this, he shares some things that ties back with Cain and his offering. And we know that God, you know, mentioned the idea of animal sacrifice, but it's really the attitude that God is looking at. Psalm 40, verse 6, it says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require." So when you think about this, when you consider, you know, what David is writing, inspired by God, verse 7, he said, "Behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." So when we look back at Cain, his attitude, he wasn't keeping the laws, that he killed his brother, he broke that law. And so God is wanting a contrite heart. He's wanting us to have that attitude of humility, to recognize our sins, to overcome our sins. But, you know, it's just such a bad example there that Cain put forth as one of the, you know, one of the first sons ever to be born on the earth, and he has that outlook on life. So when we think about respect, it's a key component of all the Ten Commandments. It affects every single one. You know, the first four address respect for God. And so if you just look at those first four, the first commandment, no other gods, you know, God is just showing he wants us to have respect. Don't be looking around for someone else to worship, but no, I am the one true God. Or even the second commandment, don't make a carved image. Don't bow down to it. Don't serve it. That's what God is asking us to do, to show that respect by how we worship. Even the third commandment of don't take God's name in vain. And there's so many avenues of that. But when we think about even the euphemisms that people use today, I hear them all the time. I used to hear them a lot when I was out, you know, working construction and at people's homes and so forth. And they would use all these terms that we know, if you go look them up in the dictionary, you can see that how they've twisted words and made them sound better. And God says, don't take my name in vain, but they would change it. You know, instead of saying God, they might say gosh. And we know all those terms. I think most of us are familiar with it. And if you aren't, it's a good study to go look them up and to see how man continues to try to go around God's laws. And so quick expressions of speech show disrespect to God. We have to consider God is worthy. Worthy of our worship, worthy of the highest and most special regard, just as that definition of that word means. Therefore, to put God before anyone, or to put him before anything, shows a great amount of disrespect. And then we consider the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And you think about the principle of the Sabbath, and how each one of these laws, once again, tie in with respect, because that day is to honor God by making it a special day. That's what God has invited us to do. He wants us to refrain from our normal daily routine. That's why we're all here today, to be able to come together. It's because our Father and Jesus Christ have invited us here, and to learn things, to prepare for a future. And so we must be concentrating on the activities and the conversations we have that show respect for God, and that help us to draw closer to him and to appreciate what he does for us. So it's important for us to think about that. Let me just refer to Isaiah 58. We've talked about this scripture before, but Isaiah 58 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him. And notice the things it says, not doing your own ways, so that has a lot to it, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Basically, God is asking us not to trample on his Sabbath day. He said, you know, it's special. I've set it apart. Don't do that. Don't ignore the rules that I've set up, because it shows great disrespect for what I'm teaching you. And so those three categories listed there in that fourth commandment are basically saying you need to refrain from your normal activities. And as humans, we become creatures of habit. It's so easy to talk about the same things we did all week, to discuss things and even do things. Have you ever caught yourself? You start doing something on the Sabbath, you go, wait, I shouldn't be doing that today. But it's just such a habit, because the other 6 days, it's not wrong to do. And so that first one, refrain from normal activities. And then God says about doing your own thing. So in other words, refraining from selfish or personal pursuits. And that's so easy to do as well. That we start thinking about ourselves, well, I want to do this. It feels good. I enjoy it, whatever it is. And then thirdly, to let go of that routine of those day-to-day topics that we discuss all the time, 24 hours a day, the previous week. But all of a sudden, God says, no, I don't want you to speak your own words. You know, those words that wouldn't bring honor to my Sabbath day, that would distract you from what he wants us to talk about. And so that's what God is asking us to do there. He's not talking about words that sin. He's not talking about gossip and things we can do with our words to break his laws. But he's asking for conversation that's in line with the Sabbath day. And we've all shown disrespect for this holy day. You know, even most likely today, things we did or said truly didn't bring honor to God and show him that respect. You know, in one way, it might be like wearing, you just walk through the mud and you wear your dirty shoes right into the house. And you go, wow, the owner of the house would say, how dare you disrespect my house? The hours I'm going to have to do to clean up that mud track through my carpet, whatever. We've all seen things like that. But in a sense, God is saying, I don't want that filth in my house. I don't want you to bring those words and those actions into this day. And so it takes effort to honor God on his holy days. All of them, not just the Sabbath, the festivals as well. You know, I still remember an example of someone that disrespected one of God's festivals. The Passover is a festival. And it just comes so clearly into my mind when I think back. It was many years ago. And a lady came to the Passover service. A baptized member had come for many years. But one time she walked into Passover service. She had on tight jeans. She had a bright red shirt on with a big emblem and had some statement that was not appropriate in itself. She had a baseball cap on. She had her flip-flops on and her whole attitude. And I will never get that out of my mind. Not trying to be critical of her, but I just saw a lack of respect. And it seemed so over the top when you were raised as a kid, especially on Passover, to really consider the deep meaning there. And so there's things we do at times that we don't even recognize we're doing. Just like if I went to her, I'm sure she didn't even recognize what she was doing, because why would you do that if you did recognize and everybody else would see it as well? I don't think she wanted to bring attention to herself, but she surely did. And so the Sabbath and the holy days are not just a day of rest or a holy day or a special day. It's a day to show honor to God. It's a day to respect him. And so the last six commandments, which we'll talk about here in a moment, they involve respect for fellow human beings. And so every portion of the commandments really tie that together. And so let's consider how to show respect in some other areas of life, you know, for both the adults and the children. So the second point we'll cover is respect within the family. Think about, you know, husband and wife, children. And to consider the fifth commandment there in that second set of the last six commandments, that fifth commandment deals directly with respect. Respect of the children for the parents. And it's interesting that this should come first in respect towards others. Because God is showing us something here, how important it is. It's a concept that parents are responsible to instill in their children. To really think about that, where else are they going to really learn that in society? They probably won't learn it at school, unless all the other parents have taught their children and your child picks up on it. No, that needs to come from the parents, which is why healthy families are so important. Let's go next to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. And we see here that God sets a bar for us. You know, he wants us to understand how deep our love is for him. That's what we're working towards. That's what we're preparing for. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So this is God's instruction for us. This is where he wants us to be developing towards, to really think about this and how important it is. Continuing in verse 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So here's this concept that God says this whole idea of respect is so important that it needs to come through the children. The parents need to take the time and raise the children with all the principles of God, and one of them is respect. That's why the fifth commandment tells the kids to honor their parents. J. Edgar Hoover stated this, a quote by him, "A child who has been taught to respect the laws of God will have little difficulty respecting the laws of man." So think about that a minute. You know, if you have the right background, the right foundation there, and you train up a child in the way God tells you to, that it lends to doing better in life and just looking even to man's laws and following them. And so when we think about the sixth commandment, it involves a respect for human life. The seventh commandment requires respect for our mate in marriage. And the parental example there is a vital part in teaching that role. The children, you know, they see a lot, they hear a lot that we don't even think about. They're always picking it up. They might be playing their game, but I've heard kids mention something in a sermon that's like, I never thought they would have picked that up, but they do hear a lot, so they watch the parents' example. The ninth commandment requires having a special regard for truth. So this idea of respect is literally tied in with every commandment. The eighth and tenth commandment deal with respect for what belongs to someone else. And so we'll look at a few of these as we go forward. Continuing now with, you know, this respect within the family, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. You know, I've seen in the past, over the years, even in a congregation many years ago, where a parent told their child, they were running around, said, come here right now, and said it time and time again. The child didn't listen. So then they started doing the countdown. 5, 4, 3. I was just watching in amazement, like, my parents would have never done that with me. Count down. It's either you come here or you're in trouble. And so that child continued to run away. They finally had to grab the child, bring them, sit them down in the chair, and said, you sit there. I was watching. Within 1 second, the kid was up and ran off and nothing else happened. And I just thought, you know, what we do there, I can't imagine my parent. I'm sure many of you can't imagine your parents allowing that to take place. Like, we would have had the freedom to ignore what they said when they told us to stay or to come here. And yet this is kind of a thing of the society now that is happening. And so when we were kids, many of us, we had a healthy fear when our parents spoke to us. And yet it's a different culture today. So let's notice here some verses here in Ephesians 6, verse 1, because it ties right in with this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This instruction comes from God, and he's telling us what's good, what's right, and that we have to consider and think about. He goes on to say, honor your father and mother. In other words, respect them. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then he goes on to say that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So this is written to children. You know, it starts out with children, like, I want your attention, children. That's what it's saying. Listen to these words. You'll have a better life because of it. So it's important for us to think about that, because then you have a special promise that's added here. You have long life if you're willing to really take this to heart and follow through on it. Verse 4, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So when we look at this, we can see that respect is a two-way street. You can't just demand respect of your kids if you're not doing things that are to be respected. So we have to really consider that. This emphasizes the importance of parental instruction and the discipline that comes in there and forming the values of the children, that they need that upbringing. As we read back in Deuteronomy, the parent spends time with them, shows them what to do, how to act, how to respond, and trains them in that way. And so all these points we cover today, if a child's attitude and upbringing is that way, then they'll have a better basis for life. You know, many families teach disrespect by their actions. And we don't always think about it, but they're actually teaching the opposite. Let me give you a few examples. One, if parents constantly judge and belittle each other, how are the kids to look up and respect that if they see the parents going back and forth, fighting? That reveals a lack of respect. Or if the parents criticize one another, the kids pick up on that. Another way that what kids see, interrupting conversations. You know, when one person's talking, the other one just starts talking right over them, interrupting. And it's like it shows no respect for what the one person is saying. You know, it's like they're saying, I'm not really interested in what you want to say. Listen to what I'm saying. And you look at that. We've probably all done that. I've caught myself starting. You get excited in your thought and you start, but wait, this other person hadn't finished. So there's a level of respect there. And a third way is for those who are on their cell phone a lot. You know, you might not be on it when somebody walks up to you. They start talking, but all of a sudden, oh, it buzzes or it rings, and you look at it. And after a while, you might look up and say, oh, the person left. I mean, because you were on it more than you thought. It shows a lot of disrespect when we stay on it too long. If your child's sitting there waiting to tell you about their day, and you're going, well, I got to read all these texts or emails, it can show disrespect. It's like saying your presence isn't important to that parent or that friend, whoever it might be. So we have to be careful in all these things we do. But let's go back to Ephesians 5 and verse 21 as we just look at a little bit more here on respect within the family. Because authority is about respecting God's authority given to fallible man. And what that means is that people do make mistakes, but they still have been given authority by God. And as a child, we need to respect our parents, etc. It's important to think about. Ephesians 5, verse 21, it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So this statement is a good basis for everything we do, that submission, that willing to come under someone's authority. It goes on with, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Just think, when this is done properly, as God intended, what the children see. They look up to that, and they see this beautiful relationship that God designed. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And as a child, if you see your dad treating your mother that way, it's a beautiful thing. It sets a good example for how that small child will treat their mate in the future. Plus, it's a happier household. It goes on to say, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. That's a huge statement. Because as men, we've all fallen short in that, but this is our goal to work towards so that we do have this respect within marriage, this respect between parents and children, between siblings, etc. And so God says they ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. So, brethren, think about that, how special it is what God is doing. You know, that ties in with what it says in Exodus 12, mentioning the commandments earlier. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. And you consider that and how important it is to tie these things in with that. And so this is where it all begins. Children learn respect for God and for adults by being taught that in the home and looking to their parents for that example. Verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So there's that word again, respects. You know, having a high opinion of someone, having admiration for that mate. And this is what God is asking us to do. Today, as we look around society, there's very little mutual respect in marriages, in families, at workplaces, in the government. There's so many problems. But the example needs to start with the parents, and then it needs to be transmitted or taught to the children, and so that family can be a team. And so that respect is an essential part of the foundation of every family. Let's look at a third aspect, respect for the elderly. Think about how little honor is shown to those that are up in their years. You don't see many people holding a door open for an elderly person. You know, I might see someone, if somebody's with a walker or a wheelchair, you might see somebody walking fast past them to get into line before them, but you don't see much of the other way of really looking out for those who have lived long lives, can't move as fast, whatever it might be. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 16. As we look at this point of respect for the elderly, Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 16. I might ask you while you're turning there, who wrote Lamentations? Well, it's Jeremiah, so that's a good way to find it. It's right after Jeremiah. And so as you're looking there, just think how God sent various nations to destroy Israel and Judah after they turned their back on God, on His laws. They didn't show respect for that. And so here we have a song that is sung, a lament that is made. And it's talking about the evil that, you know, how the Babylonians came in and tortured, you know, the Israelites prior to that time. But now the Jewish nation, they tortured them. They terrified the people to the point that it was so bad that word got out. And so the Babylonians didn't even have to go and say much to the next city they were going to take over, because the people just opened their gates and said, whatever you want, we'll do, because the word spread on how bad it was, and the cities gave up. So let's just read here one of the conditions that was happening in Judah and why God would take them into captivity. Lamentations 4, verse 16, it says, the face of the Lord scattered them. So God decided to do it. Of course, He warned them for years. They ignored that. It says He no longer regards them. Then it tells us two reasons why. The people do not respect the priests, nor show favor to the elders. Or you could say the elderly. I mean, the people had lost that respect. They had let down in that. They didn't think of that as important. And God is showing us by these statements through Jeremiah of how critical that is. And so this was the culture of Judah at that time. No respect for the leaders. Look at today in our nation, how much is changing as there's less and less respect. If the country and the nation continues to break down, we'll see more of that. And our culture continues to grow worse today. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 2 as we look at another example about the elderly. Second Kings chapter 2 and verse 23. You know, here we're given an example of some youths that didn't show honor to the elderly. And we're not given a lot of those in the Bible, but we should take that to heart when we think about how important it is in God's eyes to show respect to these various groups. In this case, those that are older. And so Elisha had just taken over the office. Elijah, his predecessor, was now gone, and he was working, you know, in this area. And so we'll pick it up here in verse 23. Of 2 Kings 2. It says, then he went, so then Elisha went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. So, you know, when we think back at that time, it's hard to imagine that amount of disrespect, but I'm sure it's happened in every age. And here it was just reported. Verse 24, so he turned around and looked at them. I'm sure he was shocked too, like, wow, all these kids doing this? And pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. So an incident that God puts in here for us to think about. You know, it reminds me of what it says in Leviticus 19, verse 32. You can jot that down. I'll just refer to it. There it says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. So if you you know, take that apart a little bit, rising before the gray-headed. In other words, you know, stand up, show respect in different aspects of coming into their presence. You know, and then it even mentions the old man, you know, the old woman, that we're not to cast them aside as they get older. They're important. They're a part of everything we believe in. We wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for all the elderly, and we need to show that respect. God wants us to learn that. And so God allowed this to happen. It wasn't Elisha that caused the bears to attack. He has no power over the animals. You know, that lesson is there for us today. And I think back an example from, I think it was about a year ago. I was out at the pool in our area there, and we were talking to an elderly lady in the pool area. And as we did, all these young kids came in, teenagers, got out of school, I believe. And this was before COVID. And they came in, and they were being loud. So this lady kind of, you know, motioned to them and said, "Hey, could you keep the noise down?" You should have seen the look she got, the sneering. I heard a little bit of cursing going on. They threw some chairs in the pool then. They were sitting in the chairs in the pool. They started, there's no running or diving in the pool. They started doing that, jumping over the heads of each other and all these things and just glaring at the lady. And I thought, look at the amount of respect. All she did was ask if they could keep the noise down a little bit. So when we think about that, there's situations like that and even worse that people go through. And so when we respect the elderly, God's saying you're respecting him. Those are his children. And he designed these rules. He wants us to do that. We're showing honor to our God because we're all a part of his family. And he's encouraging us and preparing us to be a part of his spiritual family. Let's look at a fourth point. Respect for governing authorities. The Bible also emphasizes a proper need to look to those in authority, such as the president, vice president, the senators, the mayors, the governors, you know, all those titles that people hold. And we live in a culture in which disrespect for authority is rampant. I mean, look at even what we've seen in the last couple of weeks of just the attitudes are there and they will grow worse. And we have to consider that we are products of the age in which we live, but we're asked not to follow that trend of those around us in our community and so forth, even of our friends, if they tend to go that way, we have to be very careful. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry, let's go to Romans 13. I'll go to Ephesians a little bit later. Romans 13, verse 1. You know, our country recently allowed peaceful protests, but consider the attitude that many have had this year. You know, getting out of hand. It wasn't just protesting. Pretty soon there was looting. There was burning. There were bricks thrown. There were frozen water bottles thrown. I mean, if you got hit by that, it'd do some damage, wouldn't it? So there's an attitude. I remember one newscaster said they opened some of the backpacks and they found these weapons in there, even like a, you know, a handle with a ball with spikes on it. I mean, you're talking about heavy-duty damage. And so people come with that attitude, but once again, we're talking about respect for the governing authorities. Notice what is written here by Paul in Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. That's a great statement that we read. We go, God, you clearly laid that out, how we're to look at this. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister, or God's servant, to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister or servant, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So, encouraging words in a sense that God says this is how civilization is to be handled. He, you know, there are people appointed by God to be put in authority. It doesn't mean they're perfect, but he asks us to have that respect. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Verse 7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So brethren, when you think about this, you know, if you consider back at the time of King David, and we know there was a time when he was running from Saul, and Saul as king, but David had already been anointed, that he was running for his life. And that, you remember that incident where David and his men were hiding in the wilderness in a cave, and Saul comes by and happens to use the bathroom in that cave? And you think about that, that his men, David's men, were urging him, take his life. This is like something from God, that, you know, this couldn't have happened any better, that your enemy is right there in front of us, chasing you and messing up your life for years. And David wouldn't do it. He just went over and cut off a little piece of his robe. Later, he showed it as proof. I got this close, I could have killed you, but I didn't, because I had respect for you. And this is what God is asking us to do for the leadership. Even though Saul treated David bad, even though some of our leaders don't make the wisest decisions, God is asking us to have that attitude. Let's go next to 1 Peter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. This adds to what Paul was writing back in Romans. And, you know, if we didn't get it the first time, it's repeated again in another way by another man. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. It says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people. So in a sense, God is reminding us right there, honor or respect everyone. Once again, they're all potentially a part of his family. They were all created by him. So he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So clear instruction in how we're to look at these things. And if we even go back to David at another point in his life, think about his sins as king of Israel, committing adultery, plotting murder. And yet, did God give the people the right to come and take over and throw him out? No, God says he's the leader. Until I set someone else in place, you still need to respect him. Not the sins he committed. You don't respect that part. Everybody makes mistakes, but respect them because God had given him that office. And so, you think about the requirement we have here as we go through life. There's a lot of things that mankind around us might promote about, like, well, no, be against them or tear that down or burn that building. But God's saying that's not the way to do it. So if you think about Daniel's example, that when he was under a king and he was told to, you know, not to pray, you know, that he went ahead and did it. So we obey to the point it doesn't go against God's laws. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told to bow down by God's authority, Nebuchadnezzar, but they didn't do it. They didn't bow down to that golden image, but they still showed honor to the king. They just wouldn't do it when it went against God's laws. Let's look at a fifth point, respect for our brethren. Respect for our brethren. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now consider that. You know, this is about showing love, once again, respect for others. And that's why the Ten Commandments are all about loving God and loving our neighbor. God is saying, when you live the way I tell you to, you're literally showing that honor, that respect to others. And so our Heavenly Father is teaching us, his children, how to esteem, how to hold people in high regard. So think about the respect between our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. I mean, perfect respect of one another's positions, authority, power. They've always gotten along. And this is what God is inviting us as children to learn and to think about. Let's turn next to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 and verse 15. And so in talking about respecting our brethren, I thought I'd bring up one point here, that we need to look at the way we can show more respect for each other. There's so many things that we, when we interact with people, that, you know, we don't always handle properly. But here's a commandment from God in a way that we can show greater respect to each other. Matthew 18, verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, and we've all done that, haven't we? We've all said things, done things that people get offended about or upset about. And so when it happens, he says, if your brother does do that, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If only everybody would follow this. And over the years, so many people don't. And we need to really think about this as God's command. This isn't mine or yours. This is God giving his children this command to try to work out your differences, to go to them and just say, let's sit down and talk about this. And this is what we're to do. And so it's important for us to think about that. God is saying, don't go and spread around the problem. Don't gossip about it. No, go and try to solve it. And so that's the first step, to go to them. Secondly, in verse 16, but if he will not hear, and sometimes people don't. They go, no, that's not the way it was, whatever it is. But if they will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And so if someone witnesses a problem, you know, they're actually there and saw the event, you could take them along, but it also could have the meaning that you could just take two people there so they would witness that you're following this certain step, so that it's proven, it's shown, that you had somebody said, yes, they went to you, they tried a second time going to you, and we witnessed that. And so there's the idea that in a multitude of counselors, there's safety, and we need to consider that we can go ask people advice before we go to our brother to say, hey, what would you do here? What approach? You know, maybe, hey, they might say, you should fast about it, or you should pray about it, or make sure you're humble about it and look at it from their side of view. And we need to think about all these things, how to do it in a right before we go to our brother. In verse 17, a third step, if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So in some cases, there are members that, let's say I've wronged one of you, that you come to me, I wouldn't be willing to admit it. I mean, sometimes those things happen. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying if I did that, God sets a precedent here to show that sometimes people won't say, I'm sorry. They won't say, please forgive me. Or they won't change something to make it better. And he tells us how to handle that. And so, but out of respect for one another, we need to make that effort, no matter how hard it is, to go to someone and say, hey, you've hurt me in this, or you've offended. You said this. This is how I took it. Now, years ago, on another note, I had a man come to me, and he said, I came to you, I wanted to apologize for something. And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then he finally said, well, my wife told me I said something in front of you. And I said, well, I remember you saying it, but I didn't take it negatively in one little bit. And so I really appreciate that he was willing to take this step, even though I didn't even know there was a problem. And really there wasn't, but his wife said he might have taken that wrong. And so we can even go the other way and do even better in setting an example. If we're not sure, even just go ask them, hey, did I offend you when I said that? You know, I was joking around, but maybe you took it seriously, or whatever it might be. We have to consider that. Brethren, showing respect takes effort. You know, it's not easy. But are we willing to follow the biblical command? Let's look at a sixth point, respecting our physical body. I think we've all fallen short in this area. Haven't we all been sitting around at a meal, and there's all this delicious food, and we keep eating beyond what we really should eat because we're so stuffed at the end we can't stand it. Like, oh, like on Thanksgiving Day or other times, we eat sometimes way too much. I mean, no wonder our society is getting heavier over the years, because as people let down and they eat too much, it's so easy to do. It's not only how much we eat, it's what we eat. You know, out of respect for my body, out of respect for your body, if I continue to put bad food in my body, it's not showing a lot of respect. So God wants us to think about these things. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. You know, at times we dishonor our body by not getting the sleep we need, or not going out and getting the exercise we should have. Other times we might do it by the way we dress. You know, it's a dishonor if I dress in a certain way that really is out of style, out of character, really demeaning or immodest, whatever it might be, that there's all these areas where we can not be showing respect to our very own body that God gave us. Now let's look at it from another aspect here, maybe a little more spiritual. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, we're reminded, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own?" Then he goes on to say, Paul says, "For you were bought at a price." Now you think about the price that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, paid for each one of us, so that we could have this body cleaned up and purified, so that their Spirit, God the Father and Jesus Christ, could dwell in us. And so we have to consider that our bodies are even designed for that purpose, to house God's Spirit and to be led by that. So it's a beautiful thing. So it says, "We are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit." And then it says, "Which are God's." So everything about us is from God. He owns us. We don't have the right to really do what we want. You know, if we really count God as our master and we're a servant, a slave in a proper way, that they have total authority over us. And we need to respect that. And so a part of our body is even our brain. You know, this mind that God has given us, this belongs to God, this whole setup that he designed. So do we respect the mind that we're given? Do we bring our thoughts into captivity? Because this body, where God wants to be dwelling, we don't want to, you know, put filth in it or do things that are wrong. We don't want to allow unhealthy ideas to come into our head. You know, you think about the world around us, many things, many sins are acceptable. And so as you come into the church, you even think about how much pornography is in the world. You come into the church, we know where to put out those things. Why? Because they disrespect God. They disrespect our mate. They disrespect even our own bodies. And so God is asking us to be careful with what we do with our bodies, because it does belong to him. And we need to consider some of the things that we may get comfortable with. We've all done this in different areas. We have things we hang on to, and God is saying, "No, I called you out of the world. You need to let go of that and to put it aside, and with my strength and help you can do that." And so we must be careful what we put into our minds. Wrong entertainment, wrong music, any number of things, wrong thoughts. We have to be careful what we put into our mouth. You know, food too much, unhealthy. What we wear, you know, we have to wear clothing that's decent, that allows us to be a light, to be feminine or masculine, to be and a good example to those around us, not only our immediate family, not only our church members, but the whole world. Whoever sees us shouldn't be going, "Wow, they're dressed strange." So we have to really think about everything we do and show God honor for that. Let's look at, quickly, just seventh point, respect for God's creation. You know, one of man's jobs is to take care of this beautiful planet. And you think about the rolling hills and the valleys and the streams and the forests and the farmland and all these things. Back in Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden," and notice his job, "to tend it and to keep it." So mankind today, that's our continuing job, to really take care of our planet. And you look at what's out there. You look at what's happened. How are we doing? Because you look at the city areas that are run down. You know, you look at the graffiti on the walls. You look at the ponds or the lakes that are polluted, and the air. And it just goes on and on. You look at the trash at the side of the road. Aren't you amazed at times? If you're going down the road and you look over there, and it's just, there's this, you know, fast food bag there, and there's that beer can there, and there's that bottle. And, oh, there's a couch. Oh, there's a mattress. People throw out stuff. There's no respect for our planet anymore. Well, I shouldn't say any. But we need to be showing more respect. We need to really not be the ones that throw it out. If anything, we're the ones to pick it up. That we are our brother's keeper. That we're willing to cover for someone else and to do better and to be a light in that way. And so you look at the poor example man is doing and our nation is doing. But God expects us to take care of what he's given us. He even commands us to do that. You know, to have concern for the environment, to tend it, and to keep it. One last point. Point number 8, respect for the property of others. You know, a common trend is to take care of one's own property. Like, oh, I own this house and this yard. Oh, yeah, I'll make sure everything's okay. But other people's property, it's easy to like, well, I won't care for that as well as mine. I mean, nobody would say that. But many times they show very little concern for others' possessions. You know, I had some rental property over the years. What a mess. The way people treated the property that they signed on the dotted line and said, I will take care of it. I will follow these rules. I mean, I've seen holes in the walls. I've seen carpet that was so nice and new. And yet a year later, it looked like they brought their car motor in there and worked on it on the beige carpet. It's like unbelievable. So I could go into story after story there, but it's sad how people treat their homes, their possessions, their property. And as children of God, we really need to show that respect because, once again, everything belongs to God. He's asking us not to be the worst house in the community. He's asking us to have the nicest, to do the best in keeping our yard neat. You know, not where the gutters are hanging and the roof shingles are missing. No, to do our best as a light to the others and out of respect even for God, who's given us the ability to take care of it. We need to think about that. In Luke 6, verse 12, it says, no, Luke 16, verse 12, and if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? God has given us so much, and we really need to think about how we treat these things. And once again, it must begin with the children, raising them, just as we were raised, to honor and respect God. Because then it filters into all these areas of life, and that God is asking us to be lights and to take care of things. Because it's one God who owns all. And so this includes us, though. If it starts with the children, brethren, that includes us. How? We're children of God. And as our Father, He's training us now. We're being taught when we rise up and when we go to sleep, etc. We are spiritual children that are being taught how to take care of these things, how to be a light. We're asked to grow in respect. And we should do that because God is worthy of high regard. He is worthy of the admiration, the esteem, and the honor. Parents, you have the awesome responsibility of teaching your children through your example and through your words. But we also have the opportunity to learn from Jesus Christ's example through His words right here. And so it includes all of us. Whether we're little children or we're in our 80s or 90s, we're still children of God, and He's inviting us to do better in that. And so, brethren, let's remember that the greater our admiration for God's commandments, the greater our respect for Him. And not only for Him, but for our neighbors, and for our property, for our environment, and for our families, and all the other things that are entailed. God is asking us to think about that. I'll close with this, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. Brethren, God claims this earth as His. In fact, the entire universe is His. We are His. He created our bodies in His image. And so everything belongs to Him. And He set a perfect example in all areas. As a family structure, organization, detail, He said it. He look at how beautiful He made the earth. It's man that's messed it up. So we need to consider that. And so let's show greater respect to both our Father and Jesus Christ, so that we are prepared for the kingdom that they have organized, that they have planned, that is coming. They're asking us to join that, and as future children to take part in respecting that as well. Respect one another deeper. So let's continue to grow in this. I'm thankful for the respect we do have, but I think God is encouraging all of us as children to do better in that going forward, so that we kind of, you know, have pride in a good way, in the sense of, we get along better and we take care of things better and we look to God and honor Him more, just even how we keep the Sabbath. So let's consider that and how important respect is, not only to us, but to God.